This is WMFE's Arts Connection. I'm Becky Morgan. Coming up, a look at highlights from this week's arts calendar and a preview of the new season for the Orlando Philharmonic. We'll also visit with DeLand poet Terry Wittick and a local writer whose children's book is a sweet story for the Jewish New Year. But first, in art news, leaders in Orlando and Orange County are calling it the Triple Crown for Downtown. A deal was announced Friday afternoon that would build a new downtown arena, renovate the Citrus Bowl, and build a performing arts center. 90.7's Pat Duggins reports.
Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer and Orange County Mayor Rich Crotty congratulated each other on the deal estimated to cost about $1 billion. The development plan, including Orlando's long-awaited Performing Arts Center, took 2 years to finalize, and talks reportedly were contentious at times. Along with property tax dollars and tourist tax dollars, two donors are each investing $1 million of their own. Orlando Magic Chief Operating Officer Alex Martin says team owner Rich DeVos is pulling out his checkbook as well.
You can now raise your total fundraising results, as we are pleased to announce, on behalf of the DeVos family, a $10 million pledge to the Orlando Performing Arts Center.
That's on top of $50 million in cash up front from the Magic. I'm Pat Duggins, 90.7 WMFE News.
You can learn more about the proposed Orlando Performing Arts Center when you log on to WMFE.org and click on the Arts Connection logo. There are hundreds of arts groups across Central Florida starting a new season or continuing the fine work they do all year round. Each week this fall, the Arts Connection is talking to directors of more than 60 groups to find out what's new and exciting and to hear about their season programs. This week you'll hear from UCF Theater, the Ice House Theater in Mount Dora, and in just a few moments, the Orlando Philharmonic. But for me, and I hope for you, there have been discoveries along the way, and one of those took place when I traveled to Lakeland earlier this week to visit the Polk Museum of Art. It's a venue I've not covered before, and seeing this fine museum was a delightful discovery. We'll hear more about them in an upcoming edition of the Arts Connection, but right now there are two major exhibits on display. Women Only in Their Studios runs through October 15th and features 20 artists who literally form a who's who of important living artists. They include Jennifer Bartlett, Elizabeth Catlett, Linda Freeman, Faith Ringgold, and Miriam Shapiro. And running through November 12th, there's an exhibit of photographs by Herman Leonard, who is best known for his portraits of jazz musicians. In this exhibit, you'll see wonderful images of Count Basie, Ella Fitzgerald, Lena Horne, Miles Davis, and many others, taken not in the studio, but in the clubs where they performed. One opportunity you might consider for a trip to Lakeland to see these photos is next Friday evening, October 6th. That's when the Polk Museum holds a gala evening of jazz and blues. Daniel Stetson is the Polk Museum's executive director.
Now, Bobby Rush, if you haven't heard him, is an amazing guy. He was of the era back in Chicago at Chess Records with Muddy Waters. I mean, he's in his 70s. He came here last year, and he rocked the house. He put on a show. He actually had two dancers that came with him. They did three or four clothing changes, and they really performed up there. And his band was just so wonderful. And Bobby, he was so good that we had to bring him back.
Red, White, and the Blues is next Friday from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Polk Museum of Art in Lakeland. There will be a wine tasting, that's the red and white part, and the blues is provided by Bobby Rush. For information, see the Arts Connection page of WMFE.org or call them at 863-688-7743. This is the Brahms Piano Concerto No. 2. It will be on the program this Saturday night when the Orlando Philharmonic opens its season. Some people might find it an abrupt change to go from the blues to classical, but for many years the OPO has been blending all musical styles into their season. That kind of diversity is something their new music director, Christopher Wilkins, is happy to see.
It's the only orchestra that I'm aware of that in its main concert series doesn't distinguish necessarily between classical and pops. And I love that about what we do because I think that's a very 21st century notion. Music is music. You know, we all use the same 12 pitches. The question is, what traditions are we drawing from? And in the past, we've had the notion that the basic Western or Central European heritage is what we call classical. And virtually anything that is in the popular vein or has some commercial interest, we immediately label as pops. But in fact, what's happening is that orchestral music is now popular throughout the world. You know, it's wildly popular in Asia, Japan, and now China. It's very popular throughout Latin America. Symphonic music is so present in Hollywood, it's almost hard to point to a blockbuster film that is not orchestral in its scoring. So our tradition is very much in the popular consciousness, which will surprise people who think that we're a niche art form that is vanishing or that is struggling for existence. We're not. So the question is not, is this music important? Do people care about it? It seems clear that people do care. The question is, how do we draw a community into this experience? And it, of course, it's many communities. And that's principally what I'm thinking about, is that on our main series, not distinguishing between this art form and that art form and that art form, but saying it's all music. And you can look at our offerings and probably find something you might be surprised to find on a Philharmonic season.
Some of those surprises include an Afro-Cuban adventure with Pancho Sanchez, contemporary pieces by composers like Kevin Pucks and Pierre Jalbert, big band music with Davis Gaines, a Broadway musical complete with actors, costumes, and staging, and an evening of spirituals. Christopher Wilkins comes to Orlando from San Antonio, where he was their music director for 10 years. He joins the OPO as their second music director, succeeding Hal Franks. And with his arrival, Chris and the orchestra have begun some short-term and long-term strategic planning.
I think anytime an artistic organization finds a new leader, artistic leader, it's a logical time to reassess the whole mission of the organization, where we're going, who we are, what our purpose in the community is. And so we're entering a strategic phase. We now have a wonderful process in place to really look at where we are and where we want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And the whole notion of a beautiful new concert hall, the perhaps, dare I say, likelihood of a beautiful new cultural facility downtown gives us kind of that star in the sky, you know, that guiding star to give us a lot of energy, but also it underscores how important it is for us to be thinking long-term and where we're going.
In an era where many orchestras are struggling financially, marketing techniques are being used to build audience and bring in new listeners. Many arts groups have some kind of social group for young professionals. The OPO has Ovation, and over on the coast, the Brevard Symphony has the Vivace Society. There are events like Beethoven and Blue Jeans to draw in a younger crowd. The Orlando Philharmonic was perhaps trying to appeal to a broad audience when they sent out their season brochure earlier this summer. On the cover was a picture of Christopher Wilkins leaping in the air, and on the inside, a picture of him barefoot.
The bare feet just kind of slipped in. I honestly, when I saw that, I was a little bit shocked. I thought, now what is this saying? Because I don't remember taking off my shoes. It must have been, you know, one of 200 photos, and somebody thought, well, that's a great one. Let's use it. And I've gotten over myself. It's okay. But in the brochure, we had a clear intention of saying, this is about music, but at first, even music itself is about people. And so you find our musicians, for example, we're opening our concert, our first night, opening night, my debut is with Peter Serkin, one of the great artists of our time. and his picture does not appear in the brochure. And the intention was not to take Peter Serkin out of the equation, but to put the talent that lives and works here in, to have that be the focus. So we are first and foremost a group of people. And yes, it certainly was part of this to say, we are people who shop at the same grocery store that you do, and we watch the same news programs that you do. You know, in the past, symphony orchestras have been looked at as remote, as being stuck in the past, as being about a kind of culture that maybe we're nostalgic for, but doesn't exist now, and maybe never did exist. And so the attempt of this brochure is really to say, you know, we are human beings and your neighbors, and we want you to be close to this experience and therefore close to us.
The Orlando Philharmonic offers a broad range of musical experiences throughout their season, from the Philip Carr series to the Focus series and the Darden Family series. The first Bob Carr concert is this Saturday night. Christopher Wilkins.
Well, we all wanted to open with a great guest artist, and I had my very short list of A names, and Peter Serkin has always been at the top of my list. When I was growing up, listening to LPs, I had in my, say, top 10 collection, two of the top 10 were by Serkins. Rudolf Serkin playing the Brahms piano concertos, and the other was Peter Serkin, his son, playing Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time, a visionary work. And Rudolf Serkin, born in the old world, steeped in the great old tradition, represented the Brahms, let's say, that school. Peter Serkin, the son, while he grew up in that world, clearly, he never was an artist who really wanted to attract attention to himself, which you might do if you play Brahms or Beethoven concertos or Tchaikovsky concertos all over the world. It becomes very much about the artist. Because so many people can play that. Now the question is, okay, who's playing it tonight? But when you champion a masterwork that is lesser known, you know that that artist is about something a little bit different. So when we learned that he was offering the Brahms concerto, which he doesn't usually do, he will usually offer the Lieberman concerto or some piece no one's ever heard of, yeah. A wonderful piece by a living composer would be more Peter Serkin's way. When we learned he was offering Brahms, it seemed like, okay, this is great, because for opening night, of course, we don't want to open with Lieberman. We want to say to the public, anyone should come and have a wonderful time. But we're getting somebody who has a foot in both camps, as it were, the tradition and the forward-looking. And so the rest of the program got built, in a sense, around that spirit. I wanted to pick pieces that were classics, for the most part, that are great showcases for the orchestra, that are timeless and tested and wonderfully popular with the public, but not make the really obvious choices. We'll play plenty of Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff, no question about it. At the same time, if the programming becomes just predictable and just like anybody else, there's something kind of numbing about that. And that's not stimulating. It doesn't attract attention. So I wanted to put together a first half that did a bit of both.
And in the first half of Saturday night's concert, you'll find the Hebrides Overture by Mendelssohn, La Mer by Debussy, and a piece by the young American composer Kevin Pux. It's a short movement from his Symphony No. 3, which was inspired by the Icelandic singer Björk's album, Vespertine. You can read more about Kevin and that piece at the Arts Connection page of WMFE.org. The Orlando Philharmonic opens their season Saturday night at 8:30, a special time just for this concert, at the Bob Carr Auditorium. If you've enjoyed hearing Christopher talk about the music, you might want to attend the OPO's pre-concert conversation. They're held backstage 1 hour before each performance. This Sunday, the OPO will give the first of three Darden Family concerts. This one is called Costumes in Concert, and you're encouraged to come dressed for the occasion in your favorite costume. The theme is classical music in disguise, with movie music and Broadway favorites. For information about the Orlando Philharmonic and their two concerts this weekend, call the box office at 407-770-0071 or see our website at WMFE.org. Also, if you have a youngster in grades 3 through 5 in Orange and Seminole County, they will be enjoying one of the OPO's school concerts. Resident conductor Andy Lane will be conducting over 30 of these young people's concerts, which are also open to home, school, and private school students. For information on that, call 407-896-6700. The Arts Calendar is next, and then a local children's author takes on the Big Apple with her book about apples. This is 90.7 NPR News and Classical Music. I'm Becky Morgan. Here's this week's Arts Calendar. In music, the Orlando Deanery Boy Choir will celebrate their 25th anniversary with a special evensong Saturday night at 6 at the Cathedral Church of St. Luke in downtown Orlando. The Cypress Creek High School Orchestra Program presents a concert called Strings That Go Bump in the Night, with music of Saint-Saëns, Edvard Grieg, and demonstrations of creepy string sounds. It's Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Cypress Creek Auditorium. Next Thursday night at 8, the UCF Wind Ensemble will give a free concert at the Visual Arts Auditorium. And next Friday, October 6th, the Rick Martorano Jazz Band will perform at Daytona Beach Community College. In theater, these plays open this week: The Foreigner at Surfside Playhouse in Cocoa Beach, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead at the Moonlight Warehouse in Claremont, and Respect, a musical review about women, opens Wednesday at the Orlando Science Center's Darden Adventure Theater. These plays close this week: Lend Me a Tenor at Daytona Beach Community College, Annie Get Your Gun at Rawlings College's Annie Russell Theater, Man from Nebraska at Theater Downtown, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown at Orlando Repertory Theater, and Noises Off at UCF Conservatory Theater. In dance, Happenstance 2, a program by 7 local choreographers, opens next Friday, October 6th, at the Johnny Holloway Theater. That's inside the Harwood Watson Dance Studio in Orlando. In film, the environmental film series at the Cornell Fine Arts Museum continues this Sunday at 3 with a film by Daniel Reeves, entitled Try to Live to See This. And Roving Mars is one of the films being shown at the Orlando Science Center. It features rare footage from NASA's Mars rovers. In history and science, Heroes of the Sky, Adventures in Early Flight closes next Thursday at the Orange County Regional History Center. In visual arts, an artist reception at Mad Cow Theater is Sunday from 6:30 to 8:30 for the exhibit The Art of Theatrical Photography, a retrospective by photographer Tom Hurst featuring photographs from Mad Cow Theater's first 9 seasons. And finally, a reception and gallery talk is Tuesday from 5 to 7 at Seminole Community College for an exhibit by Patrick Schmidt. You'll find phone numbers and websites for these events and many others online at WMFE.org. Just click on the Arts Connection logo and then choose the calendar.